The applicant submitted suggested findings and suggested conditions for approval or consideration of this application. There were no parties present in support of or in opposition to the application. On May 11th, the commission deferred action. On May 25th, the commission discussed this application under old business. During the discussion, Mr. Johnson stated he was not present during the public hearing, but he did listen to the tape recording and reviewed the record. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1651 for Jeff Hamer and Oasis Property Development LLC based on the record and for the following reasons. One, the proposed development is in accordance with the comprehensive plan update in that A, it is located in a designated development district where future growth is directed. B, the development will be served by county sewer and by a central water system. C, the proposed density of 3.9 units per acre is consistent with nearby developments, both existing and proposed. D, the site is consistent with the development patterns recognized in the state of Delaware proposed strategies for state policies and spending, and is located in the environmentally sensitive developing area. E, the proposed development provides for passive and active recreational facilities as part of the residential development, and that physical amenities will be provided, including a swimming pool, pool house, and tot lot. F, the character of the area is appropriate for the proposed development. There are existing residential developments located nearby, including a manufactured home development and a development approved for townhouses and duplexes. This provides for proper land use planning in the form of infilling. G, adequate central water and county sewer facilities and capacities are available, and that there will be no adverse impact on nearby properties and adjacent utility services exist. H, natural resources will be conserved and there will be no adverse environmental impact. A small area of federal wetlands will be undisturbed. County sewer and central water will be provided and stormwater management will be designed in full compliance with the requirements of all state and county agencies. Two, this recommendation of approval shall be subject to the following conditions and stipulations. One, the maximum number of dwelling units shall not exceed 32. Two, all entrance, intersection, roadway, and multimodal pathway improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the developer in accordance with DLDOT's determinations. Three, recreational facilities and amenities, including a swimming pool, shall be constructed and open to use by residents in the development within 2 years of the issuance of the first building permit. Four, the development shall be served as part of an existing or extended Sussex County Sanitary Sewer District in accordance with the County Engineering Department specifications and regulations. If upgrades in the pump station are required to service this development, the improvements shall be made by the developer at the developer's expense. Five, the development shall be served by a public central water system providing adequate drinking water and fire protection as required by applicable regulations. Six, stormwater management and erosion and sediment control shall be constructed in accordance with applicable state and county requirements. Seven, the site plan review shall be subject to the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Eight, the interior street design shall be in accordance with or exceed Sussex County street design requirements and or specifications. Nine, the developer shall submit as part of the site plan review a landscape plan showing the proposed tree and shrub landscape design. 10, construction, site work, grading, and deliveries of construction materials, landscaping materials, and fill on offer to the property shall only occur between the hours of 7 a.m. and 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday. No structure shall exceed 42 feet in height. 12, a system of street lighting shall be provided by the developer, and the location shall be shown on the final site plan. 13, there shall be sidewalks fronting or accessing all properties on at least one side of each street during the development, or within the development, excuse me. 14, addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the county mapping and addressing department. 15, the developer will cooperate with the Division of Historical and Cultural Affairs concerning possible archaeological sites, and more specifically, the Avery's Rest archaeological site. There was a motion, second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. Gentlemen, I believe that's all I have. I don't believe I received any additional correspondence from any agency or individual to date since that public hearing.
Mr. Griffin.
And the booklet is a part of the record, as I think I stated previously.
T- Tim Willard with Fuqua and Yori for the applicants. This, I'm hoping all of you have this book. We submitted some more on Friday to make sure you had enough, and I'll be referring to that. I represent the applicant in this proceeding, Oasis Property Development LLC. The principals in this company is Jeff Hammer over my left-hand shoulder, Curtis Ricketts right here, and also Ernie DeAngelis is a third partner in this. On the back bench here, you know John Murray with Kircher, and he may talk about the site plan. We're asking you to, in essence, agree with the Planning and Zoning Commission for the reasons they've given and also with the conditions they've given, but for we have a couple comments on a couple of the conditions. This is a conditional use application for 32 single-family detached residential units. The development would be known as Villas at Harmon's Bay. And the property is located on the west side of 273, which is Country Club Road. The site contains 8.21 acres. This site is located in an environmentally sensitive development district. It's also located in a level 2 area under the state strategies map. If you look at tab 2 and 3, I think of the booklet, there's a really good aerial photograph of exactly where it is. It's right before you get to the circle to the country club, and right next to the old country club. On Route 1 side, there's the development of Silver Farms, and you can see that, which is sort of the patterned, and that's a GR. It's a manufactured home community. That's right to the right of it as you look for that residential community. There is Kinsale Glen and Rehoboth, the newer part of Rehoboth Beach Country Club. Yacht and Country Club is on across the street. That's actually MR. And right behind the 8.21 acres is the Three Seasons Campground, which actually was recently approved as a HR RPC for 118 residential units. This proposal we're proposing in light of that is not only consistent, it's perhaps modest, that comes in at about 3.9. That's the nature of the area. As to the utilities that will be used, the development will be served by the Sussex County sewer system. You've heard the comments that Mr. Lank read from the engineering department. And basically what you have is a approved concept plan for this capacity, and there shouldn't be a problem there. It's consistent with what they have. There was some talk of having the developer maybe have to spend some money on pumping, but it doesn't seem like that's going to be necessary as well. The proposed development complies with the county engineering plan for system design and assumption for 4 dwelling units, the collection system. Calls for 4, we're at 3.9. If you look at tab 7, you'll see the engineering's a letter. The water for this use will be served by Tidewater. We have a Tidewater letter in tab 8. Ooh, I'm sorry, not tab 8. 6, I think. No, it is tab 8. Just there's a cover on there for Mr. Murray. The site is, it has been used for agricultural purpose. It's not currently tilled. There's one, I believe, abandoned house on the back of it. So it's really hasn't been used productively for years. There is a small portion of wetlands, and John will talk more about this, but it's right on the front corner. I think it's approximately 0.33 acres. None of that would be disturbed. There's also a stormwater management plan for there and for the center of the development. This will be there will be single family homes, but it will be a condominium type ownership. So all the owners would have mandatory participation in the organization, which would call for the maintenance of the open space, as well as the amenities. There's a planned pool here. This is not a pasture. These will be dogs here, and the pool house there. there's open space planned over there. There's a sidewalk that will go all around this area and alleyways in the back. And I don't want to steal John's thunder, but what makes this proposal really nice is it has all this areas will be front porches, and the back will be where cars travel and where they park. So it's very pedestrian friendly. In fact, the response from the State Planning Office, which has also been read in the record and is part of the record, is that they're very pleased with the applicant that we followed the better models for Delaware and some of the feedback that they gave us, and some of it was incorporated in the plan to begin with. Tab 4 and 5 show the details of the site plan. I've already commented on the plus and Connie Holland's letter. This, and apparently Mr. Fuqua was somewhat amusing at planning and zoning when he referred to this particular topic, but the Historical Preservation Office weighed in from the state, and the reason they did is a portion of this property has been listed in the Historic Preservation or National Historic Trust, referred to as Avery's Rest. And Avery was apparently a pirate that moved to Sussex County and became a lawyer. And or was it the other way around?
What's the difference?
Okay.
What's the difference? Qualified,
what are you
real estate agent.
But anyway, he might have been a good pirate. But in fact, I asked Curtis why they couldn't name it Avery's
good
Rest.
Lawyers? You know any good lawyers?
I know some good pirates. But anyway, you have in your booklet, and it should be in the front tab, or at least it's part of a record, a letter from the Historical Cultural Affairs thanking the applicant, as Mr. Ricketts, in fact, for meeting with them. And
your people, John.
They just say they are concerned about the fate of Avery's Rest, and we appreciate your cooperation in allowing us access, recover what information we can from the prior and beginning to your construction. We understand that we must conclude any testing before your construction start date, and we would appreciate you letting us know as soon as you have a firm date. So the applicant, if this is granted, is certainly on board with them. We intend to cooperate fully, and likewise, the Historic Preservation Office knows that they need to do what they need to do if the project moves forward.
What are some of the better models for development you've incorporated?
John, you want to, or Curtis, you want to take that? Some of them are ones like the pedestrian friendly, and they have front porches on all the front of the houses. In addition, parking and garages in the rear. So it's pedestrian.
But this design, it says something about, you know, first thing you have a little bullet here, it says move away from ugly cookie cutter development. Now they're lined up like little soldiers. Is this soldier development or something? What is
I'll refer you to, if you look at tab 5.
Somebody explain to me why this is superior. Yeah.
Look at tab 5.
Tab 5. All right.
And I might let Curtis answer some of these questions because he's done a previous development like this, and I have pictures of it. It's the King Creek development. But do you see tab 5? The different designs in houses. Okay.
But isn't there going to be townhouses?
Yeah, come on up. If that's all right.
Yeah.
Say your name.
Yeah, give me some pointers.
No, my name is Curtis Ricketts, and I reside at 116 Kings Creek Circle in Rehoboth, Delaware. To answer your question, George, two questions really. The first was what was incorporated for the models for better development. We tried to use a lot of the different concepts and then actual design features in there, starting with a real pedestrian focus first, relegating the vehicle traffic and the service traffic to the rear of the development, trying to enable communication between the neighbors in a more of a neighborhood by putting front porches on all of them and all focusing into a common area. We also tried to take taking a lot of the open space and making that all private, pushing a lot of the open space into public area while trying to maintain private open spaces in courtyards that are on the side of the houses. So you have.
But are there going to be townhouses and singles?
No, it's all single family detached.
All singles. Okay. Somewhere there was.
Yeah, so those are a lot of the things we did for the models for better development. To answer your second question in terms of a move away from ugly cookie cutter design.
This is a soldier design.
Yeah, what you're seeing there. What we did is we took, there are actually, we plan on three or four different models, And what we plan on doing is flipping them back and forth as well, so, and then different colors. So it,
that's creative.
It will. It will actually make it look
it's
like...
the first time I've heard that.
Yeah, exactly. What we did on the chart here, though, is we took the widest model, which was at 36 feet, to make sure that it worked out with the widest one. And we used that predominantly for the layout, just to make sure it worked. We did throw a couple of the 30-foot ones in there. It'll actually have quite a bit more variation in the final product.
Okay. Mr. President, if I could interject. Councilman, have you seen the booklet that Connie Holland was referring to, Better Models for Development? I have one in my office. I'd be happy to give you if you'd like.
I've seen it. I just, okay. It just seems that everybody picks a couple things out of it and instead of maybe following it or something. And I'm not real crazy about a lot of the stuff in it anyway, but that's another story. Okay. But I was just wondering how that was.
Yeah. Hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah.
They look the same on there, and I'll hand these photographs up of the neighborhood that's similar nearby, Kings Creek.
The village of Kings Creek, yeah.
Well, sometimes, I've always heard we want to try to get away from that cookie-cutter look, and just looking at this, it doesn't look real creative in the way that the road winds around and, gives us this little nice...
Yeah, I should have brought in the site plan that was done before that wasn't a traditional neighborhood design. Then you'll see the difference between cookie-cutter and not.
The NTAP 5 shows you the actual houses they're proposing. They're different width.
Yeah, they're nice looking. I agree. And now, if you flip this project as you walk out of this place, we just throw these pictures away? Because Ryan Holmes or Centrex may not have that in their files? Could that happen?
I suppose it's possible. These are concepts. We're going to pass around some photos of the ones we did up at the village. They have a little bit different, like a Key West kind of look. They may migrate a little bit more toward that, but the general feel of the front porch is in a lot of detail.
If you guys do this, as I'm saying, if there's nothing to hold, this is all conceptual. I need to remind my fellow councilmen that we're looking at a lot of pretty pictures, but we may not necessarily get this, correct? That's a possibility,
but I think we're... If we go through this plan for approval, I think the land is pretty much stuck with this plan.
The economics of it, probably, these houses may, depending on the market, may retail for 800 approximately.
Yeah, about 800,000 is our target.
And this is, I think, one of the reference to the findings of planning zoning was infill. This is obviously a very desirable area and a limited amount of land down there. So
also, for the record, I'd like to say there's no horse manure that's going to be stored on the site. No horse manure.
Have you ever owned a horse?
I have. I've walked funny for the day that.
Well, it might show good sense or not.
John, do you want to talk about any specifics, please?
It may not be too.
Don't even tell me about it.
Does the sale price you mentioned include the land, or is
it?
Good afternoon. My name is John Murray. I'm a project manager with Kircher Engineering, and I'd just like to add for record, I've never owned a horse. I grew up just outside of Washington, D.C., but I have
man I've met today.
I have a dog close in size and eats just as much, probably, but I don't own a horse.
They stink also.
Yeah, and he does sometimes.
Just one, though, one dog?
I have two, but he's the one who's close to a horse size.
He cries much.
Tim and Curtis have touched on most of what's going on with the site plan. I'll just touch on a few things. As was mentioned, we did submit the plan to Russell Archett's office with the County Engineering Department back in actually the winter of 2004 initially for a concept plan review. At that time, we were instructed by Mr. Archett that we would have to do an engineering study on Pump Station 220, which lies just to the north of this down Country Club Road. We did do that study. We did submit the results of that study to Mr. Archett, and we did get conceptual approval for the density shown on the plan, which works out to 3.89 units per acre based on the results of our investigation. We have also had meetings, Curtis and myself, with Mr. Tom Haslam and Dwayne Fox over at the Office of the State Fire Marshal, just to make sure that they did not have any concerns with the alleys as shown behind the houses where people would be pulling in, or residents would be pulling into their garages. They had stated that, or Dwayne had actually stated that with the width as shown, the access as shown, that they would be able to navigate even a ladder truck and a pumper truck through those areas. that we would, if approval was granted, have to, of course, submit a plan to them showing fire protection.
How much parking is available for each of those units to get them all out of the alleyway so that cars in the summertime on a big weekend are on that parked helter-skelter?
Well, of course, for each unit, there are two spots with the garages itself. And if, I don't know if you can see it better in your detail.
In the thoroughfare, as you enter and come around, not only are there two lanes for the through lanes, but there is also another parking area, parallel parking area in front of
the parking in the front?
Correct. That's the idea based on the
livable Delaware was that the primary parking spots would not be in front of the units. Basically, as you're seeing them from the road, you've got sidewalk, you've got green space in the porch of the house. But so that would be a secondary parking area for guests and so forth, so there would not be any parking in those alleyways.
Well, yeah, because these are how many bedroom houses? They're four or five bedroom houses? Four bedroom?
Yeah.
Two cars is... Yeah, okay.
And we also, of course, through the PLUS process and in meetings with the Conservation District, we're proposing to have the two wet ponds as shown on the plan. The wet pond, which will be down closest to Country Club Drive, would be, or Country Club Road, would be more of a kind of a staging area for water that would be leaving the project site. Across the road from this project, if you look at your aerial maps, there's Eagle Creek, and Eagle Creek discharges directly into the Rehoboth Bay. Because of that, more than likely in conversations we've had with Jessica Watson and Elaine Webb, it's been determined that we'll probably get a tidal discharge waiver for stormwater on the site, putting more of a focus on the water quality, than the quantity. And also, the wetland area, as shown on the plan, has been delineated and has been submitted to the Army Corps for jurisdictional determination. But I would just like it to be noted that that wetland area we've actually found has been more of a product of poor drainage in the area due to a poorly graded DelDOT pipe across the road that's actually graded the wrong way. But more of a product than that than the soils on the site. But I think that just about everything else has been touched upon with the site plan, and I'm here to answer any questions that you may have.
Is there a parking area at the pool and clubhouse?
No, and actually we're not showing any parking directly in front of where the pool and clubhouse is. It is around the thoroughfare. During our planning and zoning presentation, there was a question about access, because you can see that there's a sidewalk area shown on the interior of the thoroughfare, but it's not shown in the rendering as bold as the sidewalk on the outside. And there was mention, of course, that at least the pedestrian access, we need to make sure on the site plan that there is pedestrian access provided to that pool and clubhouse area.
Because if somebody had their two cars there and they get a guest or two guests that are trying to throw a party, what do they do? Because people do have parties in the beach area.
Yes.
Yeah, they have thousands, 1,000 feet or so of parallel parking around the circle.
So you're,
and we really want it to be a pedestrian access pool. We don't want cars driving from the house to a pool.
Right, I understand that, but there's no extra parking in case, except around the thoroughfare.
That's quite a bit.
Because my conversation here with Lawrence a minute ago about how many parking, so you've come in under a multifamily type of zoning, I guess, because you get the zero lot lines. If this was truly single family, you'd have to have larger lots. You'd have to have actually lots, right?
Correct.
To get the zero lot line and condominium, even though it's a single family home, he said there's only two parking places required, but under a multifamily ordinance, three is required. But you're saying there is a garage?
Two-car garage on each.
There's right. a two-car garage plus two exterior places to park?
I believe we have one.
Just one outside and two inside a garage.
Yeah.
And you guys think that's sufficient in the beach area?
Yes.
And you really do? You really think it is?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. But under multifamily, Lawrence, you're saying that they don't need three parking, well, I guess the two parking places inside?
You look at the type of units and they are single family units detached, they would require two parking spaces per unit.
But it's multifamily.
It's a multifamily application. I understand that.
I know we're mixing things. Okay. All right.
It does mix.
We're going to have to show you.
And we'd have to make calculate it out based on what they're showing on the parallel park.
There's only one exterior parking spot.
Correct.
Yes. That's what you said.
seems a little weak, but.
You like the plan?
No. I think it's pretty ordinary.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not talking about the houses and stuff. Yeah. Like, I'm sure they do look nice, but just, I think there's a lack of parking in it, and it just, the layout is not, it just looks like it maxed out into the ordinance and.
I have a question regarding that archaeological site. Has the state already been in there and done what they want to do there completely?
No. No, we've had a preliminary meeting with the State Office of Historic Preservation people. We've invited them to come back to do whatever excavation and inspection they'd like to do, and we've given them through at least October to do that, which they told us in their letter was sufficient, and we may even be able to give them more time, but they seem to think that was fine. And there's a letter in there in the
package. Yeah, I have a May 11th letter. It sort of indicates that they thank them, and we appreciate your cooperation allowing us to access and recover what information we needed. We can from the site. I don't know if they visited, but then they indicate they can do their work. Or they understand they have to do their work at the project.
I saw that. Well, one of the conditions says the developer will cooperate with them concerning possible archaeological sites, more specifically the Avery's Rest. Does that mean that condition continues and for
this
how long?
This would be a good time. When I started this presentation, I said, we hope you agree with Planning and Zoning Commission for the reasons and with the conditions, but for a couple exceptions. And when I was coming back here, I was going to address two issues on the conditions that we have tweaked, if you will, a little bit. One you're raising right now, and we've suggested this language: the developer will cooperate with the Division of Historical and Cultural Affairs concerning possible archaeological sites, and more specifically, the Avery's Rest archaeological site, as agreed to between the developer and the State Historic Preservation. So they have an understanding that if the project goes forward, there will be cooperation. They have their limits, however, as far as the time and when they have to do it. And in addition, while I'm on the subject, Mr. Griffin and gentlemen, there's one other condition where dealing with the street specs that we've added the condition, the interior street design shall be in accordance with or exceed Sussex County street design requirements and a specification, which is already there, except as provided for in the site plan, if there's any deviation reference to alley width or things like that. So those are just the two.
At number eight?
Number eight and number 15.
So you're proposing to add except as provided in the site plan?
Correct. And on the historic affairs, we're just
putting language in there that I think reflects the reality, which is the parties are cooperating and they have an understanding that they're going to continue to cooperate. Just to touch on a few other things in the record, there was no TIS required. John didn't talk too much about the entrance. You have an entrance there that's divided by a six-foot island. It would be a gated community with access only to the residents. This project's located in the Cape Henlopen School District. It would be serviced by the Rehoboth Beach Volunteer Fire Department. Owners would be required to be members of the HOA. We've already discussed that. I've already touched on how this fits in the area. We believe it substantially is in compliance or harmony with what's going on around this area as far as density. In addition, it's consistent with the county land use plan, and it's also consistent with the state strategies map of level 2. The density is 3.9, which is lower than some of the areas and consistent with the rest. And the conditions that the Planning and Zoning Commission has applied for, quite frankly, some of them we propose. They're good ones. If you have other suggestions for more, I'd certainly be happy to consider them. And we've submitted ones, minor changes to two that we, for the reasons we've stated. So this developer and these gentlemen do have and are developing a track record with a pretty good reputation in the community. Which I think is a support for this application. That's all I have.
Is there anyone else who wishes to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone here who wishes to speak in opposition to this application? Let the record show that no one else has to be recognized.
Is there a set of arms?
I believe that would conclude the public hearing unless you have some reason.
A question. Would you go over again the proposed changes to 8 and 15?
Well, on 8, at the end, it would add, except as provided for in the site plan.
Yes.
And on 15, it would add at the end as agreed to. Between the developer and SHPO.
The Jones Group.
Yeah,
I know. Be careful.
You're on tape, John.
Okay. We thank you.
Close the public hearing. What's your pleasure, gentlemen?
Read title.
I got a suggestion that we try to add a little parking for these places. You got an $800,000 home. Most of these people have more than one car. They park outside, and garages don't seem to get it as adequate parking for when guests and different people arrive. It seems like there's some land there, gentlemen, around the center part. I know it sounds great, and part of it is some kind of smart growth, I guess, or whatever they want to call it. But I just know at the beach, when you have $800,000 homes and square footage is quite large, you're gonna have a situation that's inadequate, even with the surrounding parking, because somebody might have to park on the other side of the, I don't know, whatever. But it just seems.
Can
we? I'm lost for the.
Could we ask if there's any additional parking they could put there for Mr. Cole's sake?
Well, not for my sake. It's the people start moving in these places.
It meets the ordinance what they're doing, but.
It's a combination, which, Dale, I'm a little confused about, because it's either single family or it's multifamily. If it's multifamily, it needs more in two places. But it's a multifamily single family, so we combine things, and I don't know if I agree with Lawrence that we should be doing that. So I don't know. Maybe we've done it in the past, but I don't know if it's appropriate to be doing it, especially with a. It's going to be single family. They couldn't do this type of subdivision, Dale. The only way they can do this tight configuration and get the 3.9 units to the acre is through a conditional use multifamily application. So if you're going to be multifamily, they ought to have a multifamily type of parking. And does it comply with our multifamily parking?
Well, the requirements for a multifamily in condominiums or townhouses would be 3.
Right, Nate.
Under discussion under parking regulations right now.
Right, but we're doing a formula, Dale. Remember your formula from Ocean City. As you go with bedrooms, they would still need 3. So it seems that they're.
They've got 3, 2 in and 1 out.
But we don't count them that way, I don't think.
Well, they got 2 in a garage, right?
And one outside.
And 1 outside, it just doesn't show where they are.
Right.
I just think it would. Can I speak now?
I'm not the president.
Yeah, I'd like to find somebody. Can you? Is there any place around there you could provide a few more parking spaces for overflow if that happens?
A couple things, Dale. On the circle, it just seems to us that it would create more of a problem to assign those parallel spaces as to leave them for just general overflow. It seems a little more flexible. The only other thing that
is possible, and I have to ask John if it's feasible from. We made these alleys 20 feet wide, extra wide, and in order that should there be somebody stopped there, it'd be very easy to keep going around them. We don't anticipate a lot of two-way traffic back there. It's possible, I suppose, that if we kept them at 20 feet, that we could have overflow parking in an aisle and paint that out.
In the back?
Yeah, the only thing that planning and zoning suggested was they were trying to go the other way and reduce it down perhaps 16 feet, just to reduce impervious surface, but.
Is it trash collection things from the rear?
Yeah, we're trying to keep all services to the rear.
Well, there's gonna be people parked out in that roadway with this configuration. It's just, there's no doubt in my mind. I go through Salt Pond, they have a similar situation where they've just got two garages as the parking, and you go through there sometimes, you can't get by because in the summertime, they're just parked all over because nothing's designated, and people get kind of casual with their parking. But if an emergency vehicle had to get down there, it would be very difficult. But.
Do you say keeping it 20?
Me? I don't know. I have a concern that there's not sufficient parking, and you got, it's your project. You guys are the experts. If you have any alternatives, I know some places, if you're, you know, around your little clubhouse, sometimes they use, you know, some little parking area up there, whether you're not encouraging people to drive there, but it would, I don't know. It just seems inadequate.
Yeah, these cars, I think, are 18, shown up here, are 18 feet long. I mean, they're like, well, not maybe like Suburban, but close to it. They're fairly large. You can see how many fit, you know. So it does give us the three, even if we were to go into the multifamily.
Right.
But I'm not sure if that answered your question.
I mean, according to Mr. Lank, it meets our ordinance, but Mr. Cole just seemed to would like to have additional parking if possible. And
how many will go around that circle? How many car? How many cars will go around that circle?
I don't know how many linear feet that is. John, do you have any idea?
It was over 1,000. We never counted out exactly how many plus overflow. We had made sure that we had the parking. Yeah. Of course, we had. And of course, anywhere where we had the sidewalks, yeah, the primary thoroughfares.
The parking,
additional parking space.
On that circle would not be long term. They would probably just for the evening or a few hours or something, you know.
Right.
That's what he's concerned
plus
about.
Plus, we have it here as well, and then along this street as well. So it's the whole circle plus that without any of the alleys.
So we got three per house plus
street parking
additional
subdivisions.
I think it's additional. Not everybody can all the time.
Because you're applying for it as part of your application. Mm-hmm. Typically not.
Is it stated in here anywhere the conditions?
No.
Well, then Lawrence says that, see, typically we don't permit parking on our roadways. It's always off-street parking. So under a conditional use, we can permit this. Okay, so I guess if that's part of your application, it needs to be in here, I guess, as part of the proposal or these conditions, that loop is going to be available for parking because it's our ordinance doesn't provide for it, correct? I've always thought you can't park on our streets.
Ordinance allows for parallel parking when you're looking at a parking lot. In this case, you're looking at one site with 32 units and a design. You're not looking at lots being subdivided with streets and off-site parking. You're looking at a project proposal. They would need to change their parking islands, strips as they're called here, to 10 feet instead of 7. And they would have to designate 22-foot spaces, not 18 or 16-foot spaces, because the ordinance on parallel parking requires 10 by 22s.
Can we put that in here so that we get that kind of parking?
So overflow parking would be 10 wide, 22
long.
On that, what do you call it? Is there a name for that road?
Yeah, that's very doable. Can we?
That durable?
Durable. 220 square foot.
Since we've opened the record back up, was there anybody else who had any input here?
I was on the 55 Bay Reach, and one of the principals. We ran into this a few years ago when we did Oyster Bay. And one of the problems was, again, was suggested, and Mr. Clark suggested that we have more parking. We had three parking spaces per unit, and we ended up putting more parking in. And then became the question of, why are you paving over so much of the green space? We ended up with a balance there. I think we ended up with 170 parking spaces there for 50 units. And I own two of the units still in there, and I drive through every day to make sure that my tenants keep their front of their places very nice, and have never seen a problem parking in the place. In fact, we have a tremendous amount of extra parking, and we were able to maintain a lot of the ecologically sensitive areas, but we ended up paving over a lot of things. I think we could have kept a little more green space in between some of the homes. And we've never had a problem with parking, and those are three-bedroom homes.
Okay. Well, these are larger, but you've already said large, you're going to have parking around it. So I'm just trying to make sure it's
we're okay with that.
With the dimensions he's stating,
okay.
So it doesn't, because you've got something different. Is that on your?
It says 7 foot.
Green space is paved.
If you make it a condition that the parallel parking spaces around the loop or along right-of-ways or driveways shall be a minimum of 10 by 22.
Jim, you got put that in there somewhere. That might resolve but make the parking more attractive to the people as opposed to whatever.
We might get more pretty houses this way.
I really have it. Stick a driveway in
I don't intend to buy one. You buy one, Mr. Jones. You buy one, and we'll all come to your party.
You can park in that parking lot, and you can shuttle us down there.
The trouble is, I guess what you're so used to having parties and nobody showing up. See, you're used to, you don't need all that parking.
No, that nice? That'd be nice to you all
you
day.
You just picked on me. I'm sitting here. I'm trying to make this a better place to live. I'm trying to make it a better place to live.
All right, let's go.
What's your pleasure, gentlemen?
So what have you added? Have you added any wording that we can hear?
Well, the parallel parking spaces around the center loop shall be 10 feet wide and 22 feet long.
All right. That's what the code is, I think, the ordinance.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
That would be number 16. What's 15?
15 would relate to the historical and cultural affairs.
That's right. Should have called it Avery's Rest. Never mind. Huh? The record's closed.
You
have a party and we'll all come over and listen to your story.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for single family detached condominiums, 32 units to be located in a certain parcel of land lying and being Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 8.21 acres more or less.
I'll make a motion we adopt that ordinance.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Jones, to adopt the ordinance as read with these 15.
With how many other? 16?
16 conditions.
Two of them had one.
16 conditions as read with the additional parking of.
As amended.
As amended. Questions? State your reason for voting, Mr. Cole.
I'll vote yes. Single family homes has been the dominant type of development out on that road, except for a couple instances that the county lapsed into poor judgment, but we'll support this because it appears that they've made sufficient parking available around the loop, even though it looks like a bunch of soldiers lined up.
Yes. Mr. Cole, vote yes. Mr.
Yes.
Jones?
A weak yes.
I was just going to get my snow shovel, that's all.
I just want us to get better each time.
I think certainly the homes you showed us pictures, I've been by those several times, and it's a great looking model. I think, you know, you've done a good job on this project. My vote is yes also with the conditions as PZ.
Mr. Jones votes yes. Mr. Dukes?
My vote is yes for the 16 stipulations.
I like the, you said the soldier look. The additional parking is fine. 16 additions are okay. I like the design. I just recently met Mr. Sater, Dan Sater, and they do quite nice work. But my vote is yes for the 16 additions. Motion passed. Next.
Thank you.
We're not done yet.